This is a Lisa and Pete podcast made in Perth for Perth on Mix 94.5. Catch up with Lisa and Pete at a time that suits your schedule and create a schedule that suits you with Southern Plus Health and Wellness Care at Home.
Have you been paying attention? But to 2017, a year in review, the special airs tonight at 10 on 7.30. The host, Tom Glasner, joins us. Good to have you on the show again, mate.
Hi, Pete. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Tom. Another huge year and tonight a chance to have a re-go in a way to see if you're paying attention.
Absolutely, to the entire year. Normally the show, of course, we just look back at the last 7 days. This is all 12 months. It's not easy to remember stuff. I can't remember where I left my car keys, let alone what happened last April.
I actually would have thought the hard part is, you know, what do you pull out of it? Because, mate, what a year to have had to have content for a show like this. A lot has happened in 2017.
It's been extraordinary, hasn't it? We've got sort of, we almost had an entire segment of the show dedicated to Donald Trump. That was all about the first 10 minutes. And then we can come back to the, you know, citizenship dramas here in Australia.
Yes.
And Rebel Wilson. And we've got, it just goes on and on. We never run out of stuff to ask questions about.
How do you go about choosing the ones who get to have a crack at tonight, mate?
Yeah.
Because you've had a fair few guests through the year.
We have indeed, yes. We rotate them through, but it's a great lineup this evening. You know, look, every week it's a great lineup. I get to, you know, lob questions up to, you know, four very talented people, five if you count Sam Pang. And it's just, you know, it's so much fun. But yeah, tonight we've got our usual Ed and Sam plus Marty Sheargold, Ursula Carlson from across the ditch in New Zealand, and Kitty Flanagan. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Who comes to mind as the person who pays the most attention?
Well, Lisa, it's anyone who does radio is the truth of the matter. Anyone who does 5 days a week radio, it's very hard not to sort of just know stuff, even if you're not even aware you know it. Some people are quite competitive. Fifi Box springs to mind. You know, comes in and goes, oh, look, I'll just have a bit of fun. And she wants to win and is always unhappy when she doesn't. Jane Kennedy, another friend and colleague, is a very, very attentive person. So, yeah, there's quite a few.
And, mates, when we were talking to you 15 minutes ago, you mentioned how it's generally the people who are doing radio 5 days a week that tend to be the most attentive.
Mm-hmm.
You got a couple of those people here, and I hear you are. You got a few questions for us as well.
Absolutely. Let's see whether you haven't been paying attention. Let your names be your buzzers.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
All right. Notorious killer Charles Manson died last week. Who did he leave his estate to? No good laughing.
Pete, I am going to go with, let's see, the Salvation Army.
Would have been a nice gesture, wouldn't it?
I didn't think he'd have an estate.
He's left it to a pen pal, when he's been corresponding with. But you're quite right, you think, what on earth would Charles have? Well, this pen pal, lucky person, gets his body and ownership of the songs that Charles has written.
Oh, lovely.
That's a lot of Ed Sheeran's latest hits, I believe. All right, a little bit of royal news. Speculation that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are about to get engaged has grown after Meghan was seen doing what?
Lisa, having tea with the Queen?
I'm going to pay that. The latest news was moving out of her Toronto home, but there is rumours that they have, she's had tea with Her Majesty. All right, we've 1-0 at the moment. Let's see how, come on, Pete. Not a good week for Oscar Pistorius. What happened to poor Oscar?
Lisa.
Oh, damn it!
13 Pete. Years.
Come on!
Lisa got in, yes, he had his prison term double, so there you go. All right, come on, Pete.
All right.
David Cassidy died last week. He was the lead singer of what group?
Oh, Lisa.
Oh, wow.
Come on, get happy. The Partridge Family.
I'm simply
showing my age.
This is unfair. I wasn't around then.
Well,
nor was I, really, technically. I watched it the second time around.
All right. It's not going well, Pete. Come on. This one for you, buddy.
Okay, all right.
Thousands of teenagers descended on the Gold Coast.
Pete!
Over the weekend.
Pete!
What event?
Pete! Schoolies.
Schoolies.
Yes!
And, You weren't there, were you, Pete, any chance?
No. I gave up my Toolies boots a long time ago, mate.
All right. Well, we've got we know what Schoolies is. We know what Toolies are. What's Moolies?
Oh.
Moolies. Oh, geez. Moolies?
Moolies.
Ooh.
Pete.
Apparently it's quite... Pete.
Is it mums who attend Schoolies?
Pete, you have got it. Well, it's end-of-year trips for mothers of Year 12.
Yeah!
Oh, they get a trip now.
Oh, yes!
Hey, get this. Of course, it's not Byron or the Gold Coast. It's probably France, but still, it's a trip.
All right.
Lisa 3, Pete 2. Oh, kick this thing home. The world's longest-serving dictator lost power last
week. Oh, Lisa.
Was it?
Robert Mugabe.
Wow. Know your politics. There you go. We've got the ARIA Awards tomorrow night. Who's going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame?
Daryl Braithwaite.
Bang. Oh,
you got riding on the horses. Yes.
Again, minus 1 point for Pete.
Damn it.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
It's 4-3. This is tight. A couple of go. The Today Show have finally announced
Pete.
That they're replacing this.
Pete. Georgie Gardner.
Guys. He's locked up at 4-4.
Locked it? All right, I'm getting back in the game now.
All right, here we go. I'm standing now, Tom.
I'm standing.
This is for the chocolates.
Come on.
Australia's most popular breed of dog has just been announced. What breed is it?
Oh gosh.
Okay, you want a clue?
Yeah.
Here's a clue. It's a Channel 10-based clue. Think Neighbours.
Oh, Lisa. Labrador.
Lisa. Bang, you've got it.
I almost said Bouncer.
Lisa. Yeah, well, Bouncer. He's a Labrador. Labrador's a Bouncer.
Is that?
He's a congratulations.
Hey!
Attention.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, but hang on. Knowing what I know of the show and having been an avid watcher of the show...
No one likes a sore loser.
Generally, the losers are the winners, right, Tom? I mean, when you really think about it, you know... It's...
Well, Lisa wins what the contestants on the show win, which is absolutely nothing.
But,
for the honour and the glory and congratulations.
Tom, what a pleasure, mate, and what an honour for us. So thank you so much. We appreciate it. And we'll catch you tonight on Have You Been Paying Attention to 2017 Year in Review, the season finale, 8:30 on 10. Tom Gleisner, thank you.
Thanks, Pete. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bali flight cancellations have stretched into its second day as Mount Agung continues to erupt. Jeffrey Thomas, our aviation expert from the West, joins us now with more information. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hi, Pete. How are you?
Hi, Jeffrey.
Lisa.
Well, I woke up this morning, I put on Sky News, and there I see it on the bottom, breaking news that the danger alert is at 4, which is as high as it goes. And then I saw you, and you were saying that the story had changed 3 times just overnight. Has it changed again since?
Well, look, indeed, as we all know now that Bali, the airport's closed.
Mm.
Over 440 flights have been cancelled from airlines all around the world, including Australia, and approximately 69,000 people have been disrupted. So it's a massive disruption to travel. And unfortunately, the prognosis for tomorrow is not much better.
I can only imagine how horrendous it must be at Denpasar Airport right now. And, you know, with that many people grounded and possibly not any chance of any flights for days, that's a lot of people that would be trying to, you know, reaccommodate themselves as well.
Yes, and the only sort of good thing about that is that you haven't got people coming in, so you can possibly stay in the accommodation. But having said that, for most people, it's going to mean shelving out a lot more money because their insurance won't cover it and the airlines almost certainly won't cover it because it's an act of God. There's going to be severe disruption and a lot of financial pain for a lot of people, unfortunately. This volcano is a nasty one.
Mm.
When it last erupted in 1964, the eruption lasted a year. We actually haven't seen a full-on eruption of this one. What it's doing now is just rumbling.
Mm.
We haven't seen an explosive eruption. When that did happen in 1964, it killed 1,600 people.
Jeez.
Mind you, the communications these days are way better, and people have been
long
sort of
evacuated.
Moved. Exactly. Mm. So I don't believe we'll see a repeat of that terrible tragedy. But there are other dynamics to this, like acid rain, because the rainy season up there at the moment.
Yes.
So when it rains, it picks up the nasty stuff, as you like, in the ash cloud and brings it down. There's a lot of things about this that are not good. Unfortunately, it looks as though it's going to be very disruptive.
Okay.
Wow. When you say that it could last a year, I mean, that for starters, that would virtually wipe out Bali's tourism. Secondly, would it mean that planes cannot get in the air? Would we have to start looking at, you know, boating people out or what? How would it work?
Well, indeed, that's a very interesting point you raise, Lisa, because if this goes on and we've got the ash cloud hanging around the airport for weeks on end, I don't think it'll be as bad as that because the winds are variable and they could swing around and push the cloud away. But even when they do that, they've got to clean up the airport because there's ash falling at the airport. They've got to clean all that up first before they can really resume flights. It's a major logistics problem, this. But getting back to your original question, they may have to boat people out of there up to Surabaya or other places to get them out of Bali. It could be very, very messy because throughput for Bali airport's about 50 to 60,000 people a day. That's a lot of tourists. A lot of people who are on the island and need to get off the island, you know, at any one time, you're probably looking at 300,000 or 400,000 people on Bali at any one time who are accommodated all over the island in various places.
Wow.
They're going to start to want to move soon, and that's going to be a logistics nightmare.
And rough for Australian people because we don't accept boat people anymore.
We don't.
So,
well, I'm glad, Pete, that you can look on the rather humorous side of this, but
been stranded at an airport, Pete.
There's probably a lot of people we won't let back into the country. Right.
This is just an unbelievably huge story, really, and logistically, as you said, let's hope that it does get better and not worse.
Look, absolutely. Let's hope for the best outcome. Let's hope we get some strong winds to blow the ash cloud away.
Yeah.
But also, let's spare a thought for the poor Balinese
who are severely disrupted.
Now, we're talking about disrupting a holiday plan here or there, but the poor Balinese are having a terrible time. And if it lasts, as you suggest, if it does last as long as I had suggested with the previous one, a year, you're absolutely right, Lisa. Their tourism industry, which they all depend on, basically, would essentially be wrecked.
And, of course, it's important to remember, too, that when these airlines cancel your flight, don't be angry at them. They are doing this for our safety. We have great safety records and, you know, we want to keep them that way.
Look, absolutely. And our airlines are more conservative than others, but we enjoy the best safety record in the world. And that's the reason why, because they are so conservative. They are so careful. We just don't take risks.
Better safe than sorry.
Jeffrey Thomas, our aviation expert from the West. A pleasure as always, mate. Thank you for being that bastion of information we can always come to.
Pleasure, Pete.
Mix 94.5, it's Lisa and Pete here, Made in Perth, for Southern Plus Aged Care. Moments ago, we brought you breaking news, was literally seconds fresh before we hit the top three.
It was.
Prince Harry and Meghan Markle have announced their engagement.
Mm-hmm.
We are now joined by our UK correspondent, Gavin Gray. Thank you for taking our call at such short notice, mate.
Hey, no worries.
Hello,
exciting
Gavin.
News like this can't be kept, can
it? Very, very exciting news. The official announcement was made by Prince Charles. Made by Dad, is that right?
Yeah, well, short and sweet and out in a statement with very, very little detail. Done in the usual formal way. There had been so many rumours about it.
Mm.
The reason I was growing increasingly suspicious was that I'd heard a tip that she had actually got her dogs back into the UK from America.
Oh.
And as any dog lover will know, that is a sure sign of moving house.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. Earlier this year, a couple of months ago, she quit the show that she was on. Then she moved to the UK. And as you said, getting the dogs through quarantine, that's the done deal.
Yep, plus the fact that she also has been over the last couple of days, royal protection. That means, you know, that is a sure sign part of the family. And also there is this, it will be true now, that she will undergo special services training, unfortunately, should, of course, she ever be subjected to being kidnapped or anything like that. All the royals have to undergo that special training. I know.
Congratulations.
Of course, they do have to take these things into account. But how's this for a new name? HRH Princess Henry of Wales. I'm not sure I'd want to be known as Princess Henry.
Yes, that's true. Now, of course, the monarchy has changed quite quickly, you know, if you look at the overall scheme of things. They've really loosened things up. I mean, here we have an American divorced actress. How do the British people feel? Are they happy for the spare, you know, because there's a little less pressure on Harry.
Yeah, very much so. And I think actually not just British people, but everyone around the Commonwealth, I'm sure I include Australia here, yeah, and the royal family, are now much, much more relaxed about the non-direct heir marrying person of his choice, frankly. And, you know, the fact she's a divorcee, the fact she's an actress, perhaps would have been scandalous 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Not so anymore now. And apparently the meeting with the Queen has gone extremely well. There's even talk she could be invited up to the Royals' main Christmas party, and that would be a real honour.
Yeah.
Now, Gavin, good on them. Yes, good on them. It's magnificent. Can you, because all I remember is that, you know, all of a sudden, Harry and Meghan Markle were together. Can you remind us or take us back to how did they actually meet in the first place? Where did it happen?
Yeah, a very good question, actually. We don't really know that they first met having been introduced by mutual pals. And they were then, I suppose, photographed for the first time hand in hand in London at the back end of last year. So that I think, began to get, you know, everybody's tongues wagging about it. But it wasn't long before, you know, pairs said, the friends were saying they were virtually inseparable as a pair. And then in May, she made her first public appearance, really, as a royal girlfriend. She watched him play polo in Berkshire, true love that. And then in September, the pair were pictured in Toronto. Do you remember he helped with the Invictus Games?
Yes.
He was pictured with her and also her mum, Doria. Now, you know, once you got the mother-in-law on side, hey, you're made, aren't you?
Yeah, you're on your way then, definitely.
Do her and Princess Kate hang out? Are they pretty chummy? Have you seen them around the place?
No. Now, I think that will probably happen, but let's not forget that not just that friendship, but the announcement of this engagement and then the actual date of the wedding are all going to be manoeuvred around Kate's third birth.
Oh, yes.
Because the last thing they want to do is to either lose some of the magnificent goodwill that'll come out of a third baby or a wedding like this. So, you know, that's why at the moment we're just being told the wedding will be in our spring. So in other words, we're probably talking April, May. I've heard May because Kate's due by then, and by then perhaps the royal and the good news will have died down a bit. So then another boost of good news. And we do have a couple of public holidays in May. I can see it being around one of those weekends.
Look, next year is going to be the very opposite of Ananis Horribilis, isn't it?
Fingers crossed, although, of course, you know, I have to say that some of the more senior royals getting older, I think as well, the palace is, I hate to say this, also sort of getting prepared for perhaps one or two difficult health issues in future.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Okay, well, look, you know what? It's all happy days. Can't wait to go dress shopping and all the rest of it. It's going to be great. Gavin, great.
You know we love a royal wedding,
we
Gavin.
We really do, Gavin.
I think we need some pictures put on the website
yes,
for that.
Yes, of course. Our UK correspondent, a pleasure. And again, thank you for taking our call at such short notice,
guys.
Mate.
Thank you, Gavin. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There you go. We have a royal wedding to plan, guys.
Gosh,
oh, my goodness.
Do.
It's Lisa and Pete.
Mix 94.5's Lisa and Pete, made in Perth. Join them weekday arvos from 4 on Mix 94.5. Catch up with Lisa and Pete at a time that suits your schedule and create a schedule that suits you with Southern Plus Health and Wellness Care at Home.